And tonight we have author J.S. Oliver on the line. Good evening and welcome to Table of Contents. I'm your host, Liz V, and tonight we have special guest K.S. Oliver on the line. K.S., are you there? All right, 1 second. who seem to be having some technical difficulties. Bear with me for just a second.
Hello?
All right, now I can hear you.
Did you have to unmute me?
Well, it said I had clicked on it and it says you was live. I'm having all kinds of troubles over here.
That's all right.
But thank you for calling in. How are you this evening?
I'm well, and you?
I'm great. Let's go ahead and kick this thing off. I'm going to share your bio real quick. We have some other callers on the line. It says, K.S. Oliver is an author, poet, public speaker, model, business owner who was born in New York. New York, stand up. I'm from New York, too. And raised in Georgia. At 30 years old, she is blazing a trail that many have been inspired by. The oldest of 11 children, KS graduated from Georgia Medical Institute with a diploma in medical billing and coding, as well as Colorado Technical College in 2011 with a degree in business. Since then, she's been moving forward with building a unique and touching legacy. On May 20th, 2010, following the birth of her youngest child, KS was diagnosed with SLE, also known as lupus, amongst a couple of other things, with a myriad of health issues staring her in the face at only the age of 25, KS had to make a decision on whether she would allow it to consume her or fight for the life she and her family deserve to enjoy. So just reading that little bit of snippet, you've been a very, very busy lady.
Yeah.
So tell me, what inspires you to share your story with the world as far as all the things you've been through, your medical conditions? What made you want to share that?
Actually, a friend of mine, Marissa Palmer, she's an author, and I had written a status on Facebook, and it was actually a poem called Who Do You Think You Are, which is a favorite Kim Morrow's, might I add. And Marissa read it, and she was like, hey, I don't know you from point A to Z. But, you know, I read this, you know, what you wrote and whatever, whatever. And she was like, I think that you should put it into a book. You should tell people your story. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, no, I'm not telling anybody my story. Well, I'm going to tell people how my hair falls out, you know, how much pain I'm in all the time. Like, I just don't want, you know, I didn't want to do that. And she was like, oh, but you should, you know, you should really do it. And I'm like, no. Well, I'll be if she didn't stay on my case every single day trying to get me to write this book. And that's just kind of how
wow. So once you wrote the book, did you feel like it was a relief? Was you nervous? Did you have anxiety during the time you was writing it? Because, I mean, that's a big, big thing to actually share what you're going through, especially when it's something that's not so pleasant. So, you know, to be able to share that with others, that can sometimes be very hard.
I mean, it was hard to do, but I mean, once I did it, it was like, okay, you know, it's done. I was a little bit nervous about what people would think about it, but once it was done, it was done. And it was just like, you just kind of had to wait and see, you know, who was inspired by it, who liked it, who didn't like it. I mean, there was definitely a nervousness in there, but, you know, take it with a grain of salt.
Definitely. And I actually read your first one, and girl, woo, I tell you, you a strong woman. And just by looking at your pictures, you wouldn't even think that, you know how sometimes you just look at people, you don't even think you would have even been through some of the things you've been through. So a big salute to you for doing big things and continuing to pursue on with your career. So it says that you started out in poetry.
I did.
What
book is a book of poems?
I'm sorry. Okay.
No,
and what was your
first
poem?
Book of poems. The first poem or the first book?
The first poem.
I don't know. I have no idea what the first poem was. I reordered them based off of how I wanted people to take them. But I do not remember what the first one I wrote was. I believe my first poem was Questions, though. I did. And that's because I was going through so much and I had so many unanswered questions.
Definitely.
But you read Flatline?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you like it?
I did. I actually just finished it earlier today. And how did you, when you started, you know, when you first put your book out, what did you want people to take away from that first book that you released?
That just because you go through something doesn't mean it has to be the end of the world. You can still get through it.
And actually, part two is actually releasing this week, correct?
It is. The paperback's released on yesterday.
I'm excited. I'm definitely going to have to get that part two. Is there
literally, delivering them.
Is there a slight preview you can give us of what's going to go down in part two?
Sure. Part two is 640 pages, number one. Let me inform y'all. I wanted to end it, and I didn't want to leave anything out. So I just wrote until it was over. So it's definitely twice the size of part one. Nothing left out. You'll find out I went to jail in part two. Me and my husband got back together in part two. There is an engagement in part two. There's possibly a wedding in part two in the Bahamas, which everybody knows I just came back. So, there's some good stuff in part two. Some really good stuff. According to my test readers, I definitely brought it with part two. You know, part one was kind of an icebreaker. I was going through so much that was more like a punching bag. But part two, you get more of my personality. And you'll find out I take no mess from nobody, including that husband of mine. So it just kind of is what it is.
I can't wait. It sounds like it's going to be a surefire hit with part two. I'm waiting for it next week, definitely. So I see that it also said that you had two sons. And how old are they?
My mini-me's 10 and 5.
Wow. So with everything that you've got going on, how do you balance that with also being a wife and a mother?
Girl, there is no balance. My husband and my kids come first. Everything else just falls into line after. However, it falls.
I know, that's right. And I also see that your boys actually wrote a book as well called Through Our Eyes.
My boys have three books.
Can you tell listeners a little bit? Oh, they have three books.
They have three books. Through Our Eyes, they wrote to me. It's from the point of view of a child with a parent with lupus. You can kind of see what your kids think about what they see. AJ's pitch is about a little boy with cancer who wishes he could be normal because he has so many health issues, only to learn that he is a little more normal than the average kid because he goes through so much and still gets through today. And then one day, a bullying book, which has not been released yet, is about a little girl named Alana who's being bullied at school. So, definitely.
Okay. So what made your boys want to take that joint to ride? And is it something that they came to you with?
Actually, my oldest came to me with Through Our Eyes by himself.
Wow.
And then actually, to me, and I told him he should write it into a book. That's kind of how that came out.
That is great. That is great. So did the other two books, did they write those together?
Yeah, they sit down. I kind of sit down with them. We brainstorm a little bit. I ask the baby what he thinks, you know, because I don't want him to be excluded from anything just because he's a baby.
Right.
So, you know, we ask him what he thinks. What do you think about people bullying people? Okay, well, Alana told me that she's being bullied. What do you think she should do? She should go tell the teacher. There's a point in there where she goes to tell somebody. So we just kind of, you know, we brainstorm with him, too, and we get his, you know, his thoughts down as well.
I love it. So tell me what you got going on currently.
Oh, my God. Really? Everything? I had a book signing yesterday where I revealed Flatline 2, the paperback. Shout out to Leo Sullivan, Nika Michelle, Kenyatta York, Nene Capri, Sean Wright, Kiara Patty. A lot of people came through. My husband, my little man. Today, I have taken the entire day to delivering everybody's books in Georgia. So my Georgia residents do have their Flatline 2 in hand, and they are reading.
Right.
Shout out to you. She'll be sitting here listening to me. you know, tomorrow I have something called Dining Royals where I will be speaking at a women's dinner about my struggles and just the things that I go through and how I overcame it with a couple of more lupus survivors. I think I'm on another blog show on Monday with Sunny Giovanni. My release is Wednesday, May 20th. So we're having a release party on Facebook. I'll be giving away ebooks. I'll be giving away signed paperbacks. We'll be doing a little trivia. So I hope everybody's paying attention because I will be asking questions based off of this entire virtual tour that I've done and all the people that have been listening. So there'll be a lot of giveaways. There'll be custom glasses given away, Lupus T-shirts. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff. It's from 10 until 12. All you have to do is log on to Facebook, be there, pay attention to when the trivia questions come up, and, you know, answer. Got to get your book in there.
Definitely, definitely. They definitely don't want to miss out on that. So what has been your biggest motivation to keep going? I mean, I know every, you know, sometimes we get discouraged. How have you overcome that, and what has been your biggest motivation to keep it pushing?
My children, my little people. They watch everything. I see the woman I want them to bring home. I don't want them to bring a weak woman into my house, so I don't walk around and feel like one.
I know that's right.
You laughing. I ain't playing.
I know you serious. I know you serious. I got two boys of my own. So I know what time it is.
I just had a conversation with my son the other day. He showed me some little girl he got a crush on. I was like, no, you can't go outside with her. He was like, Mom. I said, she's not cute. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, you see,
I said, it's not, but you're very handsome, and I feel like the woman on your side, she's supposed to be up to par. I teach them early.
Exactly. Definitely. We have to, because if not, they're going to learn the wrong things from these streets.
Right.
So May 20th, that seems to be a special day for you. Tell me why that day is so special.
Well, May 20th, I was diagnosed with lupus. May 20th, I flatlined. May 20th, I released Still Standing. May 20th, I released Flatlined 1. And May 20th, I will release Flatlined 2.
All right. That's definitely a special day. Definitely, you know, releasing that next week. And I hope everybody goes cop that. They definitely need to get the first one if they haven't read it. It's definitely good read. So we got some callers on the line. Tell them what you want them to know about you and your book.
I mean, if you know me, then you know I keep it real, very raw and uncut. I leave nothing to the imagination in these books. If you want to really know what I'm up to, there you go. I mean, it's on the pages, and it's guaranteed to keep you reading. It's a page turner, not because I wrote it, but because I'm a reader first. So I read over everything as if, you know, I'm going to pick it up and read it. And, you know, my readers definitely tell me, you know, this is a good book. Oh, my God, I can't believe you went through this. Wait, you went through that and then you did that? Yes. Just because you hit a brick wall don't mean you got to stay there. You can knock it down.
Exactly. So what are your goals for 2015 outside of the things you've already accomplished, which you have been on the move already and we're only into May? What else do you have planned for the rest of the year?
Do it bigger than I did in 2014.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about. Definitely motivation. So outside of writing and spending time with your family, what other things do you like to do?
I own an event planning company. So I plan events and weddings. I have a bartending license. And I'm also certified in medical billing and coding. So it just depends. Depends on the day. What I choose to get into on that day.
Yes, I guess I should be asking, is there anything you don't like to do?
I don't like to do anything that don't have a check attached to it.
I know that's right. That definitely, I can agree with that one. So I see you have a publishing company as well. Do you have any authors currently signed to you, or do you just self-publish your own work?
Just me. Diamante is diamond in Spanish, and I'm half Puerto Rican. That's where it came from.
I said, that's where all that spiciness comes from.
Probably. Probably. Between being from New York and being Puerto Rican, that doesn't help.
Exactly, yes. Do you ever think you would want to sign any other authors, or you just want to keep it to just your own work?
Publish. It's tedious. You know, you're dealing with a bunch of grown babies. It's hard to publish. But you're dealing with so many different personalities. I may do it again at some point, but at this current moment, I'm really focused on me and my own career and my boys. So you know, I just kind of make it do what it do.
Yes, definitely. So, tattoo was getting ready to drop. Is there any specific part of the book that was your favorite? Any part of it you might could read to the readers to get them intrigued to get in next week?
Of course, my wedding was the most exciting part. But, hold on. I already got a prologue.
Okay.
See, you should feel special because nobody's gotten the prologue.
Oh.
I haven't read the prologue to anybody. Ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. The breeze of the cool tropical air brushed past the stray locks that managed to escape the wrap that held Kai's curled back away from her face. She inhaled a quick breath to not disrupt her breathing and tightly grasped the rail as she gazed across the ocean. It was the clearest blue she'd ever seen in all of her 30 years of existence. So pure, so crystal, and so majestic in color, in calmness that she couldn't help but compare it to her life. Although the waves were moving at a rhythmic pace, the occasional crashing of tides here and there, Kai couldn't think of a better metaphor for her life than the presence of the ocean. Just like it, she experienced what was once a steady pace, followed by crashes or incidents. Yet things had managed to settle back down into a rhythm that wasn't exactly like it starts, but it was soothing just the same. Closing her eyes, Kai envisioned the dress hanging from the closet door in her double-sized top-deck ocean view cabin. She didn't need to look at it because she knew its detail by heart. She could just feel the thin satin fabric against her flesh. The crispness of the white was symbolic. This time it was pure and true. This time it was going to be a happily ever after that she deserved. She smiled to herself. Even beyond this day, she knew that she'd keep that dress forever. Though she'd probably never wear it again, it was just the beginning of the significance that it held pertaining to the change that she was about to experience in the next couple of hours. It was because he had chosen for her. Kai wanted to scream across the deck with joy as she took in the entire view. Paradise lay before her, and just beyond its horizon stood the beginning of her forever. If she could bottle up the view and the nostalgia of the moment and keep it forever, she certainly would have because it was all something that he was responsible for. It felt great to have someone who understood her and was in tune with her so precisely that he could pull off such an elaborate magnitude of a surprise that left Kai completely speechless. Truth be told, it was a state of being that Kai hadn't been in for over a year since regaining her grasp on who she truly was. Others would surely marvel over the fact that the outspoken Kai was rendered speechless as he dominated her heart. She was nothing short of willing to follow his lead, knowing that he only had innocent intentions and objectives that were developed from a loving place. "Are you ready?" a gentle feminine voice asked from the doorway behind her. Kai didn't need to turn around to see that it was Sissy that was looking at her with eyes of adoration. If you read part one, you know that Sissy is my husband's sister, but she's always been, my ride or die, like on my side through everything.
Right.
While Sissy marveled over Kai's strength, Kai marveled over Sissy's insight. It had been Sissy who was determined that this day would come, but even Sissy had no idea that it would be this grand and this phenomenal. It was something about the sentimentality of it all that just made them both feel renewed and confident in the power. Sissy moved forward and stood behind Kai at the railing. Slowly, she reached for Kai's hand and gave it a squeeze. Even in the warmth of the tropical land they were blessed to be visiting, Kai's palm was ice cold. She felt the young beauty trembled and smiled at her. Cold hands make for a warm heart. Kai smiled as she continued to glance over the water. "You're nervous?" Kai considered the question. In the last few years, she'd been through more than any one person could ever bear and still remain sane. Yet there she was, still living and breathing and able to tell about it all. She had enough ups and downs to know when something was right or wrong. That common peace, reminiscent of the ocean view, rested inside of her. "No, I'm not nervous. I'm ready. I know, right? I'm telling you. Day after day, that man never ceases to amaze me. I'm telling you again, that dress is perfect contrast to that dang orange jumpsuit I was wearing a year and a half ago." She cringed at the thought, but forgetting it simply wasn't possible. It was part of her story. "Oh, no, girl, orange is not your color," Sissy said. "No, my color is red, and I was seeing nothing but red when it landed me there." She grasped the railing and leaned over laughing. The memory was comical now, but the incident was tragically emotional at the time. "I was out for blood. Your brother wasn't going to tell anything by the time I got through punching him, and jail was no fun. And I'm leaving y'all there."
Woo! You heard it here first. Yes, I cannot wait to read the rest of that. So going back to... you mentioned a little bit of your experience. If they haven't read part one, they should, because they'll read some of that you just mentioned. When writing part two, what did you want to get out after writing part one and it did so well? What emotions did you feel writing that, the second part to your story?
You know what's so funny? I only wrote part two after me and my husband got back together because I was like, most of the people were so pissed that we broke up. I had to write how we got back together. Had to. It was no option.
Man.
I hung up the phone on him, and I was done. So it was like once we started talking and dating and it kind of was out there, it was like people going to want to know how we got here. And I punched him in the face, and I went to jail for assault, well, simple battery. Yeah, some things took place. I got some 4 carats and something on my fingers. A couple things happened to get me to this point. And I just felt like a lot of the readers, that was the basis, was the fact that me and him didn't make it. It was like she went through all of that, and he took it out well. Like, really? So I had to tell everything that happened in the interim. What happened after that? We fought. We argued. We was getting a divorce. We wasn't getting a divorce. We went to the courthouse to get divorced. We decided not to get divorced. Like, it's so much in part two that I have y'all sitting there like, for real? Really? Especially
yeah,
the women.
I know a lot of people can't wait.
Y'all know how it is when you
yeah.
love that man, you can't let him go, and y'all just going to play back and forth. And then when I didn't want to be bothered, he wanted to be bothered. When he wanted to be bothered, I didn't want to be bothered. Like, it was a back and forth thing. For years.
Especially especially after the incident that actually ended up in getting you locked up. You know, a lot of relationships wouldn't even survive past that.
Girl, that's how we got back together. That is how we got back together.
Oh, man.
Because the fact of the matter is, if you know me, you know that I'm not going to say I'm not a violent person because I'm very temperamental. I have a very bad temper. But if it pushes me so far that I swing at you, and being that he knows me very well, he knew that once I hit him, it was because he had pushed me too far.
Right.
Like the games, it was enough. You know what I'm saying? It was too much. It was overflow. And really my emotions took over, and I snapped. And that's what happened. And he's like, once I swung, he was like, okay. Either I'm going to be with her or I'm not, but I can't keep playing back and forth because he knew that he caused me to go over the edge.
Exactly, and probably and after that, he knew you weren't playing no game.
Right. You know, women are emotional.
We are. Definitely, we are. So looking back on that experience, did you ever think that y'all would get to a place to where you are now? And congratulations on your wedding, by the way.
Girl, no. Anybody else on that? I thought that mess was over. I was like, nope, that's it. Because, of course, after I went to jail, then I was really mad. I blamed him for everything. So now give me my papers. I was dead serious. But now 1 minute did I sit there and say, okay, you shouldn't have punched him. I didn't care nothing about punching him. He shouldn't have done what he did that pissed me off to make me punch him. That's how I felt about it.
Oh, man. So true.
You can relate.
All day. And I'm sure there's a lot of women out there can relate. Hell, I can even relate.
When y'all find out what he did, y'all going to be like, no wonder.
Yeah, and I'm not going to give that away. I'm not going to give that away because I want people to read the book and find out for themselves. So we're not going to tell that part.
No,
going back to saying, who are some of your favorite authors or who are some authors that inspires you to write or to go ahead and take that chance from being an author?
Wahida Clark. I love Wahida. Cupcake Brown. He wrote a story called A Piece of Cake. That is my favorite book. Love that book. I bought that book a few times because I feel like if she could go through everything she went through, it'd come out on top. I'd come out on top too. You know, especially my crew, Raquel Williams, Nika Michelle, Kenyatta York, Nini Capri, love her. I like Cash. You know, I'm into street lit for the most part. I like a little ratchetness because, you know, I can't live in ratchetry. I got children. But
right.
I can read about it. I can
Amen
read about
to that. Amen to that. So Flatline was basically your true life story. Are you planning on writing anything outside of that, maybe your own urban fiction story?
I am. I'm writing something with Nika, Kenyatta, and Kiara. We're still in the works, but we're working on it. It'll release before the year is out.
Ooh, fire. That's all fire behind those pins.
I'm gonna
write I can't even imagine what that book is gonna be like.
It's gonna be interesting for me to do another genre, but I'm excited.
And what made you want to do a collaboration? Do you find it hard to collaborate with other writers? Is this your first time doing it?
It's my first time. But, I mean, we always talk about writing a book together. And, of course, they always encourage me to step out of my box. So everybody knows that I've never written urban lit or street lit before. But, of course, they're like, come on, let's do it. I mean, we'll walk you through. We'll help. You know, let's go. So there you go. I mean, I'm always up for a challenge. And I'll try anything once. Now, if I try it and I don't like it, I'll never touch it again. But at least I can say I tried it. Hell, I tried hang glide and I ain't like that. I ain't never taking my ass back up there again, but I tried it.
Oh, you bolder than me, child. I'm scared of heights. I couldn't get on nobody. I couldn't do that. I'd be done passed out on the line.
Not on the line. I'm done with
you. Yeah, on the line. Don't even make it back to the ground. I'm gonna be out before I even get back to the ground. So now that you have two books out and your ebook is getting ready to come out next week, how important are reviews to you, and if you have gotten any bad reviews, how did that affect you as well?
You want me to answer that? Oh, you want to answer? Oh,
I know you.
Okay.
I know you're gonna keep it real, so I gotta ask you.
I mean, I've gotten one bad review, and it was from a stalker, so her opinion didn't really matter to me because everybody knew.
That's what it was about, huh? That don't really count then.
No, see, I mean, she was very vocally stalking me on Facebook. Like, I screenshot half the stuff she put in my inbox. That was everything under the sun. Matter of fact, Kim know about that because I had to hit up Kim like, this chick is crazy, but she don't know I'm crazy too. But anywho, no, her review didn't matter. Outside of that, I've never gotten a bad review.
Okay.
I mean, for the most part, people enjoy, you know, my story. They're like, especially people that know me, they're like, oh my God, I can't believe she went through all of that and I've met her. You know, she here to tell about it. I mean, I like to get my reviews that I feel like they're important to other people, but I mean, to me, it just kind of is what it is. I more enjoy those inboxes than those emails I get. And that's what it is. You know, for sure, I enjoy, you know, when people inbox me and tell me, oh, my God, your story made me feel some type of way and, you know, all of that.
Have you met anybody that actually, like, you know, came to you and was like, man, your story inspired me, or maybe they were going through some of the same things that you were going through? Have you encountered that as well?
Of course. I mean, I have lupus survivors here in Atlanta. Kelly King, a really good friend of mine, has lupus. She reads my book. She's like, girl, you had me in my feelings. Like, you really had me in my feelings. Like, I'm sorry. You know, it's a lot of different, a lot of different things. A lot of different people, a lot of people I come into contact with that I meet or that write me on Facebook. This one lady told me she was about to kill herself, and somebody told her to go read my book.
Oh, man. Wow.
Well, I'm glad I could help.
Yeah, now that's called making a difference. And it's crazy because, you know, when people write books or everything, you never know what somebody may be going through and how it may affect them and actually save their lives.
Right. And, I mean, this is the funny thing is that this is why I answer everybody. I tell people all the time, I'm not bougie. I'm not stuck up. It's assumed that I am. I'm pretty. I'm not mean. You know what I'm saying? It's a difference. You don't have to be stuck up and rude acting to people. I answer inboxes. I answer emails. I answer text messages if you got my number. I'm not like that. You know, I've enjoyed your book and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate every bit of it. And I'll sit there and talk with them. I took a book to a lady today, and she was like, can we talk about part one when you get a moment? You could just call me. I said, no, we can talk about it right now, honey. Standing right outside our house, we had a whole conversation about part one.
Oh, that is nice. That is nice. So I know you have paper books out, and you also do ebook. Which one do you prefer personally? Are you a paperback type chick?
You know the answer to that, the paperback. I like to sign my journal.
Yes, it's nothing like filling those pages between your hands. I mean, ebooks are convenient,
But I still love paperbacks too. So your virtual book tour, how has that been going, and how much longer are you going to be doing it?
I am on a virtual tour into the end of May. May is also Lupus Awareness Month, so I normally grind way harder in May than I do the rest of the year just because I like to get that awareness out there. I have a magazine dropping at the end of May with Tennessee Magazine. Dominique sponsored it. It's a Lupus magazine. It's called The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And it tells different stories of women with lupus. So that'll be coming out shortly, too. I'm on the cover with a young lady named the Princess of Poetry. She's also a lupus survivor. Okay. And then once I finish here in May, I'm going to take a break. I don't want to be in nobody's hospital, and I've been going kind of hard. So I'm going to sit back for a second, probably take a trip with my husband, another one, and my kids, and just kind of kick back.
That sounds like a plan. You are definitely well-deserving on that, because when I say you have been on your grind has been impeccable these last couple of months. So shout-out to you for that.
Thank you, boo.
So Still Standing was your book of poetry. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about that book?
Still Standing was my first breakout into the writing game, and it's also the reason why I wrote Flatline. You know, Flatline is more in-depth. Because, you know, poetry, you can tell it, but you can't really tell it like you want to tell it. There's always a hole in there somewhere.
Right.
Because everything might not fit. So when I dropped Still Standing, it was like pieces of what I was going through. And Flatline is just the whole story without the holes in it. That's all.
Okay. And then Affectionately 360, is that also poetry as well?
You know, Affectionately 360 is poetry, but Affectionately 360 is about love and heartbreak and stuff like that. Because recall, I was going through trying to adjust to lupus and then the whole issue with my husband at the same time. So that was two emotional roller coasters at the same time. Everybody knows heartbreak is the worst pain a woman can ever feel because you can't fix it.
Yeah.
It's just got to take the time to pass on its own, and that was just one of the things I had to deal with.
So going through all of this, how do you feel like it's made you a stronger person? Because a lot of people, well, I'm not going to say a lot of people, but some people, going through two serious matters like that, that's enough to break somebody.
Nah.
And clearly you've taken your experience and you've elevated from that. So how, if somebody was going through your situation, what would be your best advice for them to make it through it?
Bricks don't break that easy. Can't allow little things to break you down like that. I'm not breakable. This made me stronger. It makes me look at life differently. I appreciate things that other people don't appreciate. I appreciate being able to get up and go pee in the middle of the night because I remember when I couldn't move. And doing that was a task. So, you know, it's just, it really makes you appreciate small things, being able to brush your teeth, being able to open a bottle of soda. Those are things that I couldn't do at some point because my hands weren't strong enough or I was in too much pain to do them. So when you read my book, when I tell you nothing. It's, honey, I tell y'all how I peed on myself trying to go to the bathroom because it just seemed like it was too far away to me. My hair fell out. My face broke out. I also say that I get shots in my face to avoid breaking out like that. I had a woman tell me that was me being conceited. I told her she got the things she can deal with, and I got things I can deal with. And I can't deal with my face breaking out. That's my limit. I can deal with the pain. I can take all that. I do not like breaking out. But that's my own, you know, that's my own issue. I prefer to be pretty laying up in the bed in pain than to be broken out. But that's just me. That has nothing,
ain't
you know,
nothing
has nothing to do with anybody. That's my dilemma. I take them shots in the face because I prefer to be able to get up and do my hair and lay in the bed and be sick. But you don't know I'm sick unless I choose to tell you. And I'm okay with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. So this month is Lupus Awareness Month. How can people get more involved in donating to this disease? Like, are there walks that take place? I think that it's not a disease that most people are familiar with. So how can people get in more involved in it? Especially during this month with, you know, the awareness month.
Well, Lupus Foundation of America has a Facebook page and a website. They keep people pretty informed. I do a Lucas t-shirt design courtesy of Aja Monique of A&B Branding, who also does my book covers every year. Custom design that nobody else has. A lot of my Lucas survivors order it. I wear shirts all the time. It just kind of gives you that, you know, that little bit of insight on what's going on. And, you know, you can walk around saying, you know, I'm supporting somebody with lupus.
Right.
You know, there's different avenues. I write on my Facebook page all the time, both of my Facebook pages, my Instagram. I'm always saying something about something. You know, we try to keep people as informed as possible because we have to deal with it. And people being ill-informed creates ignorance as well. So,
definitely. Definitely. So where do you see yourself in 5 years? What is your goal for the next 5 years?
You know, I don't know. I just want bigger. I like bigger. I like more. I like, you know, to add a goal each year. So I don't have a specific specification to where I'll be in 5 years. Hopefully I'll be planning bigger events, bigger weddings. I'll be a New York Times bestseller. I'll be an even bigger Lucas advocate. I'll be a bigger role model. I want bigger than what I had. I'm blessed with the things that I have, but, I mean, anybody's a fool to not want more.
Yeah, definitely. It's always great to strive for greatness. So what has been your biggest accomplishment personally?
Being a mom. Being a mom, because there were definitely times where I wasn't so sure I'd be able to do that. And so, you know, being able to do that is everything to me. Being able to wake up, being able to see, you know, my 5-year-old graduating from kindergarten this year and going to first grade. Being able to see my 4th grader going to 5th grade and do his last year elementary school. Those things are important to me. You know, being able to go to football games and cheer for my boys. You know, being able to renew my vows with my husband, you know, just being here to do all of the things that everybody should be able to do is good for me.
Yes, and congratulations on all those things. Being a mom is definitely a job that's not replaceable.
At all.
I have 4, so.
Girl.
Yes, honey, and they are ages 8, 7, 4, and 2.
I can't do it. I can't. I'm the oldest of 11, though. My mom had 6 of us in the house at one time, so I ain't interested in having a whole bunch of darn children. I'll lose my mind, and I'll be trying to put them all up for adoption. So, you know, I'll just not do that. Don't laugh. I'm dead serious. I can't.
I don't know how I do it, but some way I do it. But, yeah, I love my babies.
Yeah.
To someone who was thinking about maybe sharing their story or writing a book for the first time, what would be your advice to them?
Say it again.
To someone who was thinking about telling their story or maybe has some apprehensions, or for somebody who was going to be a first-time writer, what advice would you give to them?
Do it. If, you know, you never know who you may help by telling your story. Never know who you might help. I saved somebody's life and had no idea that that could be possible. You know what I'm saying? But just writing a book. So, you know, you never know.
That is good. And that is so, 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 so true. So we had a couple more minutes left on the show. What do you want your listeners to know? What would you like to tell your listeners before we go?
You know, just always be you. Don't let anybody else change who you are. There's a reason why I'm self-published, because when I was trying to do the publishing thing, you know, everybody wanted to change me. Everybody wanted to change my story. They wanted me to do it the way they wanted to do it, and I wanted to put it the way I wanted to put it. I felt like if I was going to tell my story, I was going to tell it my way and my way only. And that's just what it is. You know, sometimes the publisher's advice is amazing. Sometimes you need it. But for me to be telling my life story about how I flatlined and lived, I felt like I needed to tell it the way I wanted to tell it.
Right.
So never lose sight of yourself. Never lose sight of who you are in this game. Always be true to you.
And before you decided to self-publish, were you actually considering getting a publisher?
I had a publisher at some point. It just didn't last long. And when I say not long, I mean about 6 months. And it was over. You know, I have a problem with authority, and that's part of the problem, too. I don't like being told what to do. I like to be able to move at my own pace. I like to be able to do it how I want to do it. You know, I like to have control of everything. And you can't really do that when you have a publisher. See, the good thing about I was able to release the paperbacks of Flatline early and deliver them to all these people. You got to get permission right. from a publisher if you have wanted to do that. I pick my own release date. I do exactly what I want to do when I want to do it.
That is true. Have you ever thought of turning your work into a screenplay or movie?
Yeah, still standing. I want to be a screenplay. Flatline, I want to be a movie.
Okay.
That's my plan.
And if you ever turned your story into a movie, who would you get to play your character?
Toni Braxton.
That's a good answer. I would have never thought of her.
You should. She has lupus. Who better to play me than somebody who goes through the same thing?
I know, but when you said it, I'm like, dang, that would be a good person.
Yeah. It just never got to be my husband just because he's fine. You know what's true?
I'm sorry, I didn't even hear that. What was that?
I said, you know that man is fine.
I'm not going to go there. But y'all
don't
do
get
have some beautiful pictures, though.
My husband ain't around.
You do. You do have some beautiful pictures, though. So you got the virtual release party for the release of part two next week. Is there anything else you got going on as far as the release of the ebook version? I know your paperbacks are already being delivered.
Not yet. I thought about doing, you know, it is 5 years since my diagnosis. I thought about maybe dinner or something with some of my closer friends, you know, people who have been around through this whole ordeal. But at the moment, I'm going to do the virtual release. I did the book signing yesterday where I released the paperback cover. So I'm just, you know, just kind of cruising on through.
All right. And how many book signings have you actually done so far?
I can't answer that. I don't know. A lot.
Well, I'm going to need you to come to Virginia.
Huh?
I said, I'm going to need you to come to Virginia so I can be front and center.
I was just in Virginia. I didn't sign up there, but I was there for a week. I was there for a whole week. I was in Danville.
Oh, yeah, that's not too far for me.
I signed in Georgia. I signed in Memphis. I'm going to be all over the place. I'm going to Harlem Book Fair.
And then the Harlem Book Fair in July, right?
Yep, in New York.
Yep. That should be nice. That should be definitely nice. So, is there anything else you want to share before we go?
No. Y'all can follow me on Instagram, Authoress KS, Ebony Oliver on Facebook, Authoress KS Oliver is my like page. Instagram, Twitter, same, Authoress KS. And I answer everybody. And shout out to everybody, all my readers. I appreciate you guys. If they ordered any of my books, they have been mentioned in the acknowledgement so on Flatline, too. So I hope that everybody grabs that on the 20th or goes on the website to order their signed copy. I have sold out of signed copies of Flatline, too, already, and I just got them yesterday. So,
congratulations on that.
Too. It's always good to see it disappear.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I literally just placed another order this morning because they're all gone. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm ready for it to come out and to hear, you know, people's views. And hopefully nobody be trying to get the benefit to me and my jail sentence. Don't be laughing at me.
I definitely need you to let me know when you get some more orders in, because I definitely need to get my own copy. That's one that I want definitely in my collection.
They will be here on Friday. I will inbox you the website. You can go in there and order it, and once it comes in, it'll be shipped straight out to you. I speed ordered them because everybody wants. Literally, I probably have another 30 or 40 that have been ordered today to go with the pre-orders that I set for Friday. So go on and get in there so you can grab yours, and I will sign it and send it to you.
Yes, please let me know. Please let me know. So we have some callers on the line to see if they have any questions for you. We still have a couple of more minutes. Caller 860-707, do you have any questions for Authors K.S. Oliver? You're on the line.
Maybe listening. Everybody chilling.
Yeah, probably so. I don't see any more callers, so I want to thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show and letting everybody get to know a little bit more about you, including myself. And I want to congratulate you on everything that you've got going on, including the new release of Flatline 2, which dropped on Wednesday for ebook. And as she said, there will be more paperbacks available next Friday, so definitely hit her up if you want your copy. And also, she's on Facebook, and if you go to the event page on Facebook, all her information as well as book links is on there. So you have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, boo. You too.
And enjoy what's left of the rest of your weekend, and please don't forget me on Friday.
I just inboxed you the website. Order it, and I'll make sure I got you down for these orders because they steady coming in here. They already. All right,
cool. I'm definitely going to do that.
I got you.
I love. Well, you have a lovely evening.
Thank you, boo. You too.
All right.
Beautiful.
Trust in your confidence, don't let them take this. You've got the whole world looking, I'm anxious.
it, I see you. Intellectually sexy, your amazing overflows in the smallest of gestures, and your presence is an invitation to dream. You seem way beyond the reach of small thinkers, but the height in every good effort always seems to get your attention. The value in your old fashion doesn't die in a decade or fade with age or the latest trend. You are the world's greatest commodity, and those who trade instead of investing you, their decision making and stocks depreciate the moment they let you get away. You were never in need of anyone's confirmation. You've always been beautiful from birth, since worth till dirt. Beyond the size of your curves, the length of your hair, and the depth of your complexion, your beauty is timeless, and I plan on taking my time and enjoying every moment you find me worthy of your presence. Sincerely yours, Eric Crow Draven.